If you would like to open your scriptures up with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I hope you're really grasping what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. And in through this series, I love John. And I love the way John tells us these accounts of Jesus. As Jesus is revealing who he is to the world. He's not just another person. He's not just another rabbi. He's not just another preacher. He's not just another teacher. He is God in the flesh. And he's revealing his reason for coming. Why am I here? What's he doing? And he's telling us that. The first week we talked about the bread of Jesus is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall never hunger or thirst. And how do we do that? By believing in him. Last week we saw that Jesus is the light of the world. So in chapter 8, he talks about being the light of the world. And then he spends the rest of the chapter on chapter 8, and it's not chapter, he spends the rest of the conversation. He didn't speak in chapters and verses. But how would you like to have a conversation with somebody who spoke in chapters and verses? Honey, chapter 1, I think we ought to go to the store today. Verse 2, I need a saw and a... So he's revealing himself, but he also is exposing the Pharisees for who they are. And so he spends that whole chapter 8 just showing them how blind they are. Of course, they're blind, so they don't know it. They don't know that they can't see. But he spends that time exposing that. And then just in Jesus fashion, the way Jesus does what he does, he decides that after teaching about spiritual blindness and darkness and light, he's going to give somebody some light and let them see. So he finds a blind man. And this blind man is an unbeliever. He's not a believer. So Jesus comes up to him and Jesus has a conversation with him and he heals him. And of course, he's able to see. And the Pharisees, you know, healing's okay, but just make sure it doesn't happen on the Sabbath day. If it happens on the Sabbath day, we got issues. And that just exposed who they were. So Jesus is going to heal whenever Jesus heals, whether it's a Sabbath day or not, and he did. And this guy sees, but they're kind of ticked off about this. So they're back and forth. Well, I mean, you know, who was this guy that did it? I don't know. I just know that I was blind and now I see. And this whole, read that when you get home. It's hilarious, but awesome at the same time. So he goes through that, and the Pharisees are all kind of messed up about this thing and about being blind and not seeing. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus took this blind man and he gave him physical sight. But right at the end of chapter 9, as we see it, Jesus gives the man spiritual sight. The man believes in Jesus. When he believed on him, Jesus gave him spiritual sight. How many of you know that it's more important to be able to see spiritually than it is to be able to see physically? It's wonderful to see physically, but if you can see physically but you're spiritually blind, you're not seeing everything. And so Jesus exposes all of those things, and now he's going to let these Pharisees know that you can't get any of this anyway, and he did it all through there without me. So let's look at chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own, He calls his own sheep by name and leads them in and out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes in ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Love that. They follow him because they know his voice. They follow him because they know his voice. But they were never. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Why? Because they're spiritually blind. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters in through me will be what? Saved. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Jesus gives us a picture here of himself as the door. Now, it says gate, but here's what I'm going to do. Y'all listen to me well here. For many years of my life, I studied King James Version and New King James Version, okay? So all of that stuff in my head just kind of flows out naturally. So I'm going to say door rather than gate. It's the same thing. It's an entrance to something. But the reason is, I'm going to have to use part of my brain to think to say gate. But door will just fly out of my mouth, okay? I don't need to have to think on something else anymore than I absolutely have to. So let's just focus on when I say door, we're there, right? We're together on this thing. So if you get a picture of an area where stones are stacked up in a big circular area, stones stacked up probably about yay high where the sheep can't get out. It's around this way. And with that, the pen, this is the sheep pen, there's a door opening about yay wide. And in this door is where the keeper of the sheep will sit. Sometimes it's the shepherd. Sometimes they'll have somebody else to come in, but that's where the person who is protecting, and often most often the shepherd, is sitting. They will sit in this doorway, and they'll sleep in this doorway, and have the sheep inside the pen. It keeps the sheep in the pen from going out, keeps the critters from out coming in. Now, Jesus says, "I am the door, the gate. I'm the way in to the kingdom of God. I am the way in to the family of God. I'm the way in, and there is no other way." Jesus didn't say, "I am a door." Jesus said, "I am the door," right? I'm the door. I'm the gate. I'm the only way in. I am the only entrance to get into the kingdom of God. You remember when he said, "Nobody comes to the Father but by me"? We can't see the kingdom of God unless we see it through him. Jesus is the way. He is that doorway into the kingdom of God. So let me give you a couple things that I hope will help. Number one, every gate or door has two sides. Is that brilliant? Are y'all sitting there thinking, "Man, he's so smart"? Every gate or door has two sides, an inside, outside. You come to my house, you're going to step up to which side? No. You better not. Not until I open it and let you in. You come to my house, you're going to step onto my porch to the outside. It's one door, but you're going to be on the outside of the one door. And then when I open that one door and invite you in, you're going to step into my house, and I'm going to close the door, and then you're going to be on the inside of the one door, right? Not two doors. It's not an outside door and an inside door. It is a door. and there is one door, and you stand either on the outside or the inside of that one door, but there's only one door. I'm afraid sometimes that we think that there are lots of doors. How many of you remember watching Let's Make a Deal? Yeah, four of you. Yes. You know, watch Let's Make a Deal. And what was the guy's name, the game show guy? Who? Monty Hall. And so what he would do is, for all you youngsters that have no earthly idea what I'm talking about, here's what they would do is a game show, and they would have these doors, and the person on the game show would have to pick a door. And so behind the first door is a car. And it's amazing. If you go back and watch those shows, it's a car. Brand new car for $2,500. Brand new. You could even fit your whole family in it for $2,500. So in one door, behind one door, there's a car. Behind another door, there's a really nice bicycle. And behind the other door is sheep dung. And y'all know. So now you have to pick a door. You don't know which one has what. I love what Jesus did. Jesus is not standing back and saying, man, oh, pick a door, guys. Hope you get it. I hope you get it right. Pick one. Maybe it's a heaven. Maybe it's the hell. I don't know, but pick a door. That's not what he does. There's one door that Jesus invites us all into. He is the door. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to the kingdom of God. He is the way to the family of God. He's the way to forgiveness. He's the way to mercy. He's the way to grace. He is the door. And if we pick him, we walk into the door. But the world creates this mindset that there are lots of doors, all kinds of doors that may get you to God. Here's the good moral door. All of those people who are good morally and feel good about themselves and feel like they're better than everybody else because they're good morally people, not realizing that their very pride is just as sinful as the other guy's whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So now you've got some who are saying, you know, I don't want to go in that door. But I'm not saying I'm not going to go in any door. But I just haven't decided which door I want to go in yet. And the reality is, indecision is a decision. You're either in the door or you're not. Now, through this whole message, and I had to make sure, I had to clarify this morning in the early service, I'm going to point at that door all morning long as if that door is Jesus. But some of you are going to get to wanting Jesus so bad, you're going to get up and you're going to run through that door. You're going to be thinking, he must be on the other side of that. Bud is hammering away at that. Jesus must be over there. But no, he's not. Jesus is right here with us. He's ready to come into your heart. But I'm pointing at that door because I need to keep my mind straight. All kinds of doors, or all kinds of people think are doors that promise all kinds of things. I want to go through the door of prosperity and have all kinds of money because that's where fulfillment's at. I want to go through the door of popularity because that's where it's all at. I want people to know me. And the reality is there's only one door. And everything that's not on the inside is on the outside. Because it's really easy when we're on this side to create doors that make us feel better about ourselves. I can create a door that makes me feel like that I am better than you, so I should probably be going to heaven. You may not be going to heaven, but I am better than you, so I will probably go to heaven. So we create all kinds of doors. Good moral doors, good enough doors, hope I'm good enough door, all kinds of doors. But there's only one. And Jesus is him. Why would we not step through that door? The door is Jesus, and on the other side of that door is life and life to the full. Let me give you another one. outside, listen to this, or inside the door is life to the full. Outside is the thief, the killer, the destroyer. Inside the door is eternal life. Inside the door is life to the full. Inside the door is everything that you ever wanted and needed. Inside the door of Jesus. And there are going to be people who say, "Bud, you're so exclusive here. You're saying that there's some people that are going to go to heaven and some not. You're saying that some people can get to Jesus, some not." No. I'm not saying anything other than what Jesus is saying. You hear me? I'm not saying anything other than what he says. Jesus is the one saying there's one door, and you're either in the door, in the family, or you're outside the door, and you're outside the family, but there's only one. Inside that door, inside Jesus. I know it's so easy to stand, and for those of us maybe that were raised around church and church people and certain things, we may look at the door and think, why do I want to walk through that door right now? That's literally misery in there. I mean, that's all the fun's gone. If I go in the door, my fun's gone. Why would I want, especially as a young person, why would I want to go in that door? All the fun, all the fun things are out here. All the fun things are out here. In there is Jesus, and not really sure what that means, but maybe we have to go to church and we have to listen to bad sermons and we have to, we just got to do it. No. No. See, that's you remember hearing the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy? He wants to keep you from knowing what's on the other side of the door. He wants to keep you from knowing that on the other side of that door is the fullness of life. On the other side of that door is forgiveness. On the other side of the door is mercy. On the other side of that door is grace. On the other side of that door is everything you need. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that on the other side of that door are all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly. We've been given all those spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. In the spiritual realm is all ours, all spiritual blessing. In here, we're dependent on things to make us happy. Over there, Jesus gives us the fullness of joy. And it's not contingent upon circumstances. Happiness, the world offers happiness, but it's contingent upon circumstances. Jesus invites us into the door and into a relationship where we've always got him and he's always got us, and where he fills our heart with something that can't be explained, a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. That's all on the other side of the door. That's what he has to offer. And the thief wants to steal that. He wants to steal it away. How does he start by stealing it? Well, one way, if you look at the parable of the sower of the seed and the seed, you find that the first seed that went out, the seed of the Word of God, the first seed that went out was taken immediately by the birds. So it was stolen before it could ever come to life. It was stolen. And every Sunday I preach and I throw out seed. And some of you grab it. And eventually, like what's been happening lately, two more people gave their heart to the Lord in the early service today. Yeah. All of a sudden that seed starts to come to life. But if the enemy can steal it, steal, kill, and destroy, if the enemy can steal it, And then there's the one where the farmer has he sows the seed and the sun is beating down and it lasts just for a minute, but it has no root, so it's killed. And the enemy wants to take the seed that comes out, and you're feeling a little bit happy about it at first, but before it has time to really take root, he kills it. And then there's the one where he can't kill it. It took root, but weeds are growing up around it, and what he wants to do is try to destroy it to the point that it never bears fruit. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what the enemy is up to. He wants to do that by lying to us. He wants to do that by offering empty promises, telling us that life can be, that we can find fulfillment in life through empty promises. Sin. Moses even said that, well, there's a little pleasure in sin for a season, but man, when that season's over. And you know what's sad? Is I see so many older people today who were, when they were young, they thought in their mind, they thought, you know, like I am, listen, ladies, I'm a ladies' man. I'm not talking about me. But they're those guys. I'm a ladies' man. I can't settle down with one, bud. Just can't do it. I don't want to deprive the women of America from this. Not this, you know, because some of them, I mean, look pretty good, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, I'm sitting here thinking, here's what you don't know. Gravity is going to get you. Now, there's nothing wrong with having muscles and being healthy. But if you have it, you still better know Jesus and the kind of relationships that he wants to give, because I'm telling you something, when gravity hits, everything starts to go down. Right? Everything. Those big old chest muscles are down here now. Now, I do know some older people who stay healthy and are still very muscular, but they fight gravity. They have to fight because gravity is it's a law that's, we haven't, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you know, but I just can't do it yet. And so you pass up relationship after relationship, good people, and then you end up an old playboy sitting on your front porch all by yourself trying to remember the old days and failing miserably. This world can't bring fulfillment. And all the stuff Satan, the thief, the destroyer, all the stuff that he offers and tells us that it'll bring fulfillment is a lie. It can't. It cannot do it. Only Jesus can give you what you need. Only Jesus can fulfill your heart and fulfill your life. It's the door. It's the only way in. It's the door. It's the only way to eternal life. The door, Jesus, the door. The only way to joy and fulfillment, the door. Jesus is the only way to forgiveness, to security, to know that you are saved, to not have to wonder, I hope I'm going to heaven, to know you are. Say, but how can I know? Because I don't know if I'm going to be messed up. Yeah, but see, you're depending on the wrong thing. Over there's his righteousness. Over here is us depending on ours. That's what the Pharisees did. They depended on the law. They depended on their ability to keep the law. They depended on their self-righteousness. Yet Jesus said, I'll offer you a righteousness that you can't do on your own. Your righteousness is as filthy rags, but the righteousness I'm going to give you is righteousness. Real righteousness. So the big question comes down for us. What are we going to do with the door? What are we going to do? Let's look at something. Jesus said, the sheep know my voice and they follow me. They know my voice and they follow me. The only way to follow Jesus is, once we get in, we have to be followers. And when Jesus comes out and begins to draw us to himself, how many of you remember that? Prevenient grace. How many of you remember that grace where you were lost and undone and you didn't know Jesus, but there was some kind of a grace that kept pulling you? There was something inside of you that kept pulling you toward Jesus. And see, but why wouldn't everybody accept that? Because we live in a world today that tells us that we're not intelligent if we believe in Jesus, that you can't be an intellectual and believe in Jesus. And they've got all kinds of different ways to tell that, and they've convinced so many of our young people that. And nobody wants to be stupid, especially if you go to school somewhere besides right here in the South, because everybody knows that we Southerners are all dumb hillbillies. But I don't know a dumb hillbilly young person that wants to be considered a dumb young hillbilly. So it's so easy for some of these professors to say, I know y'all down there, and they don't word it like this, but I know y'all down there in the South, you got your Bible and you got your God and you got your guns, but all that is archaic. And let me give you the new way. Let me catch you up. You are years and years behind down there, but let me catch you up. Let me make you intelligent. Your mom and dad made you stupid, but let me make you intelligent. And then they fill them full of lies. Can I tell you, I'm just going to say this one thing, but can I tell you something? It takes just as much faith to believe that as it does to believe in Jesus. Actually, it takes more. It takes more faith to believe in that foolishness than it does to believe the story about what Jesus did. Think about this. I went to I told y'all last week I went to the eye doctor the other day. And so I was kind of reading up on the eye and how things work. And it's like, just if you take the eye alone and you start studying on that, it's just like, wow, that is literally amazing how that works. And that could not come by accident. There has to be, and many scientists have come to this, there has to be a divine designer. There has to be. There's no other way about it. Our bodies are a little world unto themselves. Do you know that you got little spaceships flying around down inside of there? Maybe not spaceships, but you got living critters down inside of you. And there are good living critters and there are bad living critters. And the good living critters are trying to fight the bad living critters. But some of you have what is called an autoimmune disease, which confuses your good little critters. So your good little critters think they're helping when they're actually hurting, because they think something is attacking your body. But no, it's not attacking your body. It's actually you attacking my body, and you're supposed to be the good guys. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on down in these bodies. It's a world. It's a universe of its own. The very fact that I'm standing here before you and my arms are flying around like this, there's something happening from here. Faith. If there is an intelligent designer, then why couldn't we know who he is? Are you with me? If he's that intelligent, now they're coming to that. If he is that intelligent, maybe he wants to be known. Maybe he wants to be known. Maybe if he would want to be known, and he knows that he has to be the door to eternal life, I don't know. Let's create a story. If you need to be known, and you want to be known, but you need to be known, and you need the people, the subjects, to know you, because if they don't know you and believe in you, they don't get to go in the door, and you want them to go in the door, maybe just, how do we do it? Well, maybe you could come down from up there. Well, sin came through a person, so it's going to take another person to come down and be a sacrifice for that sin. Maybe we could just do that. I don't know. What do you think? Is it a good idea, maybe? I don't know. Let's keep working on the story. So, got a problem. If he does come down here, and he's a man, and he has a mother and a father, then he has a sin nature just like everybody else, passed through the bloodline. Now we got a problem. Because you're a sinner, you got to pay for your own sin. You can't pay for mine. So it's going to have to be somebody without sin. But a man and a woman who create a child, that's a whole other class. Man and a woman who create a child, create a child with a sin nature. It's going to be tough, but we got to get rid of the guy. We got to find us a woman. We got to find us a girl who can have a baby without a man. How's that going to happen? How do you have a baby without a man? Well, I know that some of y'all are saying, yeah, well, there's all kinds of ways. You got petri dishes. We got, you know, all this. I realize, but ultimately, there's got to be a man somewhere. I don't care where we get to here, but it's got to start back there with what a man has to give. Whether he gives it himself or whether he gives it to somebody else who carries it over and gives it to you, it still takes what he's got. This is a good lesson, guys. I know. Just listen to me. So we got to get rid of that. And we need her to be able to have a baby. So what do we do? Well, hey, maybe the Holy Spirit moves upon her. Because this baby is going to be God. Has to be God. So maybe the Holy Spirit moves upon her and we have a virgin conceiving. What do y'all think? Are y'all as bored with this as you look? I think this is awesome. Plausible. Now we have a virgin who's going to have a baby. And that baby now does not have a sin nature. So that baby begins to grow up. But we've got to see something, some signs to know that that baby is who that baby says. Because Billy Bob's wife, when the thing out behind the barn happened, but they didn't want mom and dad to know, and they tried to say that little Janie, it's a miracle. But it wasn't a miracle. So we got to make sure that everybody knows that Jesus is not little Janie's baby. You understand what I'm saying? So he grows up and he starts to do miracles and he opens blinded eyes and he makes people talk that couldn't talk. He makes people walk that couldn't walk. And he starts to do miracles. He takes away leprosy and he does all of these things. Jesus begins to do miracles all over the land, and all of a sudden people are looking and saying, he's different. There's something different about him. It's almost as if he were a God-man. And then the God-man goes to the cross. And to all the people out here, he knows because he's the door. But all the people out here, it looks crazy. If he were God, he wouldn't be hanging on a cross. But they don't know that the only reason that he is here is because he wants a relationship again with his people that he created, and sin messed that up. And somebody has to pay the price for a sin, and it has to be someone who is not a sinner. And so a non-sinner goes to the cross, and he takes all of our sin on him. Even today, if you are an unbeliever, Jesus took your sin on him on the cross. That's why it is so sad for people who never come to faith in him, because all the time the price was paid for you and you still die without him. Still die without him. Now he's dead on the cross. Camera people, I know that I just drove you insane, but I need to get this. He's on the cross and he dies. And now it's like, it's too good to be true. It was a good try for a story, but it just kind of ends in a, it all ends bad. So he's put in a tomb. One day, 2 days, 3 days later, there's some news coming down the street. Some gossip going around town. The guy that died, he's alive. So now the news begins to get out. The disciples saw him. They're talking to him. They know him. 500 people actually see him and know him. They're right there with him. All kinds of people. The ladies met him at the tomb. And now, is there anything better? Yeah, the miracles were great. All of that was awesome. The teaching was great. All that was awesome. It was awesome. He died on a cross, but he just did what nobody else has ever been able to do, and that is get himself up from the grave. That story sounds like something a divine designer might come up with. And that, to me, is a whole lot easier to put my faith in than all of this came from nothing, or all of this came just from an explosion. It would be like walking through a junkyard, and all of a sudden there's an explosion, and then there is an awesome, awesome forerunner sitting there at the end of it. How'd that happen? We don't know. The wind blew. The wind, all that junk over there, just the wind blew, and now look at this. You can believe that, or you can believe that there's an intelligent designer who decided to make himself personal to us and reveal himself to us and make a way for us to go back to the way he originally had it planned. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and life to the full." And every person in here today that has not already walked through the door, Jesus being the door, haven't walked through the door, you stand outside the door. And you think you haven't decided yet, but you have decided. Because indecision is a decision to be undecided. You have to decide to go in the door. You have to decide to believe in Jesus. You have to decide to put your faith in him. You have to decide that. And so many people stand right next to the door. So many people stand right outside the door thinking, well, I'm close. I'm just going to hang out really close here. That way, as people are, you know, the believers are going in and out, I'm right here close. Maybe I can feel a little bit secure because I'm at least close to the door. You got to be in it. You got to walk through it. Standing close is not going to help you. Going to church is not going to help you. Not when it comes to eternal life. Going to church will help you with a lot of things, but not your eternal life. So today, as before, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever put your faith in Him, or are you trusting religion? Are you trusting that mom and dad raised you up Christian? There is no such thing. You can grow up in a Christian family, but you can't be raised Christian. You are born Christian. You're born again. You're born spiritually. You can't be a Christian just because you're American. You have to be born spiritually, Jesus said. And so I want to invite you now. If you'd bow your heads for a moment. I know it's kind of tight in here, and you are welcome to come forward if you want to. But I also realize it's kind of hard to get out of those seats sometimes. But you can get saved from me. I got saved in my old hippie van. You can get saved from sitting right where you're at. And so I just want to ask this one question. Is there anybody here today who has never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You have never put your faith in Him and invited Him into your life to be your Savior, who would like to do that this morning? I will pray. I'm going to stand right here and pray a prayer with you. And if you are sincere about praying that and receiving Jesus today, you can be saved before you leave here. Anybody in the room, just lift your hand up for a minute and hold it up there and say, "Bud, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior today. I want to invite Him into my life." God bless you, honey. Anybody else? I want to invite Jesus into my life right now. I want to leave here having walked through the door into eternal life. Anybody else, quickly before we pray? Church, you know how we do this. And for those that raise their hand, I'm going to pray a prayer with you. I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me. But we're all going to pray it, so you're not praying by yourself. Everybody in this room, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it out loud. And I want you to pray this prayer out loud. And if you pray it sincerely from your heart, you will leave here today a child of God, a part of the family of God, having entered the kingdom of God. So, church, you ready? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And You're a Savior who came to save sinners. Right now, I open my heart to You. Please wash my sin away. I receive Your forgiveness. I receive Your love. I confess my sin, and I confess that You now are my Savior. I am a believer. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a follower of Jesus from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate with our brand new sister today. We've got some material that we're going to be giving out soon, some Bibles and some material that'll be helpful for you. We've got it ordered. It's not in yet. But let's stand and let's celebrate and give Jesus thanks for another life saved.